Great to have with us Sandy Lyle. Won 30 times around the world, 6 PGA wins, 2 major championships, played in 8,000 Ryder Cups. We just put you into the Hall of Fame, Sandy, with my previous guest, Ryan Harrington. So you are now in, and congratulations.
Good. I would like to be in the Hall of Fame. It would be very nice. Nice to speak to you anyway.
It's great to be with you. I mean, let's pretend you're not you for the moment. Shouldn't you be in?
Well, I've been on that short list, as I gather, for quite a number of years now, but I don't seem to know what's happened after that. And I know in the last sort of 15 years I've been sort of below radar, as you'd say, not really done much as far as tournament wins. But I would think that my past record would sort of speak for itself.
Well, and it does, and loudly and clearly. And, I mean, you know, you were so consistent over such a long period of time. And that time in the 80s and early 90s when it seemed like every single guy on the European Ryder Cup team was born on the same day, those had to be stunning fun times.
They were, yes, definitely the 80s. I could see the writing on the wall when we first started up in the Ryder Cup. I think it was Greenbrier I played my first Ryder Cup, and that was the first time that the European players were allowed to participate with the Great Britain and Ireland team. So, and it was a close competition, and you could see it every time we played. It was getting closer and closer, and then eventually we made the breakthrough, and they were glorious 80s, and I will always have good memories of that.
It's funny, I was just thinking earlier about some of the things that you had done over time, and it's just amazing that your career would so parallel that of Seve, who always needed so much love, and you didn't seem to need, but rather liked when people adored you. And it just seems to me, and you would know so much better, which is why I asked, that Seve really got hurt over time when he got himself into situations where he either felt snubbed or left out of the deal. Really sensitive guy.
Yes, he is. I had the pleasure of speaking with him. I phoned him up just before the Open Championship this year. And once he caught on who was phoning him, because he's not quite all there sometimes, you know, his concentration, but after the surgery and that was, it was me phoning him, and I just phoned him because I had his number from the Lazarbell. And he was very, very nice, very warm, and a lot of enthusiasm. He wanted me to go out there and win the Open Championship for him, and he was sorry he couldn't be there because, you know, he wanted to go there to the Open because it was the 150th anniversary of the championship belt, and all the past champions were going to play these few holes as an exhibition type thing. But the doctor, you know, said to me, "You couldn't go," kind of thing. It was too much excitement, too much emotional for you, and you got to rest and take things easy. So it was a bit of a hard time for Seve to make that decision not to go to St Andrews. And I think even if he'd just gone in a golf cart and just walked the fairways, he would have been adored by many thousands of fans.
Oh, yes, if he could have just stood on 18 for just a moment and stood instead in front of a microphone and said, "Thank you for everything that you said about me and the way that you feel about me," it would have shut the place down.
Mm-hmm. They would have done, yeah.
People always tell me that playing with Seve was an adventure because his rounds were always an adventure. You never knew if he would hit a big block and then, you know, squeeze some one iron between a pair of bunkers and make a birdie putt. Was it hard not to watch? I mean, didn't you need to concentrate on your own game?
Well, yeah, I suppose you've got players on the regular tour right now called, you know, Mickelson and these sort of things, and they play very similar kind of games. And I think the courses, you know, are pretty tight nowadays, and they try and sort of squeeze out a lot of the erratic golfers. And I mean, to me, it's fun to watch. I mean, if you want to watch some of the biggest crowds that play the tours, you're only going to go for Mickelson or John Daly. Even these days will draw many crowds because they're exciting to watch. And Seve was one of those. You never know from sort of hole to hole. And that's probably what got him in the end. You know, he started to lose his game a little bit. He wasn't very confident what he was doing. His confidence was down. He was probably, you know, his health-wise was okay at the time. You know, he's back getting an odd trouble now and then. But he really just went downhill pretty quickly, and he was searching, trying to find the golf game. And I suppose he never really found it. And then he had this tumor, which really is just, you know, that's knocked it on the head kind of thing.
We're talking with Sandy Lyle, two-time major championship winner, won 30 times around the world, 6 times in the United States. How soon do you think it'll be before Monty says something unbelievable that we can't forget until 2 minutes later when he says the next one?
Oh, yeah. I mean, Monty's Monty. I mean, he really lives by the minute sort of thing, and he's a straight shooter. He can, I think, well, the press love him because they're always going to get some sort of quote from him. And I mean, obviously, the Ryder Cup this week, I shall be glued to the television, not maybe at 2 a.m. in the morning to watch the opening start, but I will be watching very closely. And I think, Monty will do an excellent job and rally the team together, and we'll just watch with interest.
Sandy, what's your view on matching players together oh so carefully as teammates, or throwing all the names in a hat and pulling out two pieces of paper and getting it right that way?
Well, I think I've never really been a captain, but I've been a sort of deputy vice captain a few years ago. It's a tough to make. I think characters, obviously, and the type of style of players you're going to have. And we've obviously seen the Mickelson and Woods scenario some years ago, which didn't really gel very well. On paper, it should do. They're number one and two players. The crowd wanted to watch the number one and two players playing together, but it didn't gel very well as far as the personalities. You've got to be careful. You need to, you've got to have some big hitters. They want some good putters. I think all down to the end, it comes down to putters and getting the characters and get the gel right. And that's part of the captain's job, and with the vice captain as well. He'll watch the practice rounds very, very closely. That's where all the feedback comes from the vice captains. We'll watch, and they might go out in pods, similar characters playing together, enjoy their own company, and then they'll play and they'll probably be around each other most of the time. I think the Eisinger situation some years ago, when he had two old vice captains who were Raymond Floyd and Dave Stockton, I think was kind of an unusual choice at the time. But I think once you learned, what he was thinking, what he was doing, I think he outsmarted Faldo, 100%. He had the team gel well together. They all had a great time, and they're all past captains of a Ryder Cup. Well, so their experience would pass on to the team very much so.
Is there any way to overstate, Sandy, how important Tony Jacklin has been to the way the Ryder Cup is perceived now?
Well, I don't think, through Tony, they asked Tony, would you be interested in doing the Ryder Cup? And I think he had a day or so to sort of think about it. And he says, I'm going to do it, but in one situation, we're going to go over there like champions. We're going to fly over in Concord. We're going to have the best of this and the best of that. And I'm sure his input made a huge difference to the European team, sort of Ryder Cup team, as far as going over there, feeling good factor. I was part of that team at that time, and it was all 5-star all the way. You stay obviously at the Greenbrier Hotel, which is magnificent. These lovely suitcases and cashmere sweaters. We don't really need it in 70-odd degrees, but, everything was all 5-star and made the feel good factor. And if the team feels good and going in there 100%, and it worked very well. I think Tony took on the job and did an excellent job at the same time.
Are you comfortable, Sandy, with the choices that Colin made? Would you have done a couple of things differently?
That Colin did. Sorry.
Yes.
Say again.
To round out his team, the picks that he made. Were you comfortable? Surprised? Where did you fall?
I think reading between the lines, we were all a little surprised at sort of Paul Casey, or especially I feel sorry for Justin Rose, who's won magnificently twice this year already. Season when you're playing well. Could have won another two at the same time. He was right there until the last round. I feel a little bit, hard. I'd be sorry for those two that have got missed out. But on the other side of it, you think, well, how strong is the European team when we can leave, two well-known players like Casey and Rose out? And hopefully it doesn't come down to losing matches by one point, because we haven't got the experience. I think we've got 6 new rookies. It's a hard job for him. I mean, it's a no-win situation. I mean, he had a lot of good players playing well. In previous years, you maybe have 9 good players, and the other 3 are pretty much, pick themselves kind of thing. But this case, you've got 25 good players playing really well that could have easily been in the Ryder Cup team. And I think Rose and were a bit hard done by, but the captain's decision in the end, and hopefully it'll all come right.
Sandy, it seems to me that it's not so often that a really special player comes along. And obviously, a Tiger comes along once in 8 zillion years, but it seems to me that Rory McIlroy is, over the last 10 years, the guy that I look to now and think, who wouldn't want what he's going to carve out over the next 10 years? That he has the it factor, and he has the game, and he's got the cockiness. There's something there that says to you, yeah, this is the next big deal.
Well, I mean, in my little time with Rory McIlroy was way back to the Walker Cup when they were playing over in Ireland, I had a fortunate to play with the Walker Cup team a few days before they were traveling out to Ireland to play the Walker Cup match. So I was playing with the guys, and I just asked around. I said, who's the king player around here? Who's the one that's got the leadership or whatever? And they all were not even a second thought. So they were pointing, oh, that's him over there, that little hairy over there, that little Irish guy. That's the one. He's the one. So I've sort of kept an eye on him, and I played a few holes with him. And you can't really tell just in a few holes, but I was very, very impressed when he did turn pro the sort of week after the Walker Cup, that he only had, he got 4 invitations to play in Europe. And I think in those 4 or 5 invitations, he managed to get his tour card in that very short pace of time. But I thought that just shows you that, this guy's got some talent. And, I think he will be the young up-and-coming player who will, fly the flag and continue on from the Fabulous Five. The Faldos and the Lyles are all sort of disappearing below radar now, but it'd be nice to see some young ones coming through.
It is so nice to hear your voice again, and I look forward to seeing you, and you're always so kind to me when we get together, and thanks for today so much.
Oh, you're very welcome, Peter.
Great pleasure. Oh, it's my pleasure, Sandy.